Julio said something before he prayed. He said, Lord, did you bless the hour to come? And so now I'm starting, so I got a whole hour, right? Okay, thank you. Appreciate that. Within the hour. Should we get the hourglass out? thank you so very much for your prayers. It's greatly appreciated. I always appreciate when we go out in the open air. Chris says a lot of times before we pray, go out in the open air. The Lord Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And that's my case right now. Without him, I can do nothing too. So I appreciate your prayers immensely. Okay, I got a slideshow today. And I feel more comfortable doing this, I guess, than other things. And hopefully I got all my slides in order, and hopefully I got my life in order to do this. Okay. Brad, knowing that I'm not very techno, he taped over all the things, so I only got one button to push. Yeah, I can't mess up. Thanks, Brad. Yeah. Well, I appreciate all the help I can get. Okay, we're going to start off with a historical event. In 1969, Apollo 11 landed on the moon. Neil Armstrong climbed down the ladder. He stepped on the moon, and he walked, and he talked. And he said this famous quote, by the way, this was on national TV, and I did see it myself in person. I didn't see him in person, but I saw it in person. And he said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. What a tremendous event that was. It really was. Perhaps some others here, I noticed some others here have saw that as well. But that was a tremendous event. About 7,000 to 10,000 years ago, another man and his wife also took a small step of disobedience. And what was its effect? One giant, and I added the verb ongoing consequence. That one small step, there was now one giant consequence. That verse right there is a great commentary on that one event. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all have no thanks to Adam and Eve, everybody born in this world, including myself, except the Lord Jesus, is born spiritually dead, separated from God. We're all born sinners by nature, birth, and practice. Now, with that one event, that one step, a whole bunch of other consequences came into that. Disease, despair, broken hearts, broken lives, war, crime, A to Z, all the consequences. Now, for us who know the Lord Jesus, even you and I, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, to some extent, we're still feeling the consequence of that one act, even as us as Christians. You and I are still feeling the consequence of that one act, even as Christians. And we can thank the Lord Jesus that he paid for all our sins, but there's still those consequences from A to Z. Now we're going to talk about one consequence that you and I and everybody in this room, regardless of age, can identify with. Regardless if you're young or old, whoever you are, we're going to talk about one consequence that you and I know very well, and even some know right to this very minute, regardless of age or gender, okay? So a lot of consequences because of that one act, one step. The title of my message is God's Word, a Triple Prescription for Our Afflictions. Affliction, pain, suffering, however you want to label it. There are people in this room right now that are feeling affliction. It could be a small thing, it could be a big thing, it could be a very serious thing. But we all know what pain and suffering is from, you know, day one. From our earliest up to our present moment, we're all very acquainted with afflictions. And we're going to talk about afflictions a little bit here. Okay, my text today will be Psalm 119, verses 49 and 50. If you could sum these two verses up in a few words, it would be a request. Now, this is not my outline. It would be a request. It's actually a prayer request by the unknown writer. If you could sum it up in these words, it'd be in these words. It would be a request. It would be a reliance. It'd be a renewal. It'd be a relief, and it would be revival. We'll look at that. We'll look at those verses in a few minutes. So the psalmist, the unknown writer, was experiencing affliction. If you look at the tenor of the whole Psalm 119, he was suffering persecution. But again, when we think of afflictions, we're going to think about different aspects of that. These verses give us three supernatural, and please notice the word supernatural, benefits for our afflictions. Whatever your affliction may be right now, these verses give us three supernatural benefits for our afflictions. That is, we really can experience them when we read and rely on our Bibles. Now, concerning these supernatural benefits, which the world, science, technology, drugs, yoga, not even religion itself can ever give. These three supernatural benefits, none of these things can help us. The world and all its trappings and all its stuff, science can't help us. Science doesn't know about the supernatural, doesn't want to acknowledge it. Technology, drugs, yoga, not even religion can do what we're going to read about, what God can do for you and I through His holy word, okay? Well, what are these three supernatural benefits? Number one, we'll read these verses in a few minutes. It gives us the benefit of renewed hope. Now, I stuck that adjective renewed in there. It's talking about hope, but I stuck that adjective in it. Basically, anytime you and I make an effort to pick up our Bible and read it, regardless of what your affliction or problem may be, it's interesting that in a few minutes how God's Word takes our minds and our hearts off our present affliction or problems, and we start thinking about things heavenward, don't we? That's what the Word of God does. When you and I have affliction, now, I want to make it very clear before I go on. When I'm talking about the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in the inner man. So if you and I were to fall and break our arm, what I'm not saying is the Bible's going to heal you. I'm not saying that, okay? We're talking about our afflictions we feel in the inner man, okay? That's how God can really minister to us. So it gives us the benefit of a renewed hope. That's an added adjective. It gives us the benefit of divine comfort. And boy, and God is in the business of comfort. He is in the business of comfort. And it gives us the benefit of sweet revival. We talk about revival. Revival actually begins with you and I. And that's what the Word of God does. When we pick it up and make an effort to read it, study it, ponder it, try to trust and obey it. It has a supernatural ministry of reviving the inner man that nothing in the world can do. Just a couple reminders before we get into the text. I will read the text in a minute. Now, affliction can be, when we think about affliction, pain, suffering, it can be basically in three forms. The first one we can all identify with real well, and we have a tendency when we think about pain and suffering is most physical, but there's actually more to it. It can be emotional. Christians are known to experience depression and stress. By the way, I don't know if you knew it or not, but the experts say that stress is the leading cause of 7 out of 10 of our diseases and ailments. Stress is one of the big causes of 7 out of 10 of our present ailments. Stress, the stress of this life. You know, we got bills to pay. We have relational problems. You know, I got my coworkers at my secular job and all this. And so stress is a big thing, you know, the hubbub of the fast life. Everybody's in a hurry nowadays. Everybody's in a hurry. You know, there's a lot of different stress. And that affects us. It does. It affects us. And the last one, too, we may not think about this as often, but it's also a spiritual affliction. The highlight of Ephesians 6:10-17 about take up the whole armor of God that you may what? Be able to withstand his fiery darts. I don't know what all those fiery darts are. I can guess what a few of them are. It could be pride. It could be anger. It could be covetousness. You know, it could be any of those things. And so you and I are subject to Satan's fiery darts. I've told you this before, but one of the fiery darts that Satan uses on me is evil thoughts. That's my thorn in the flesh. I get oppressed by evil thoughts. I really do. And I'm sure I have some company on this. You know, evil thoughts, that's his fiery dart. That comes from him. Okay? Now, non-believers, those who are not born again, only know affliction in two ways, physical and emotional. But even as believers, we can have a third affliction in the spiritual realm. And so again, this is a very relevant subject for today, and I hope it'll be a reminder and encouragement to you that we have a blessed help and hope. Now, I would remind you, and I remind myself, our Savior experienced all three. Of course, without sin. When I think of the Lord Jesus, we have a tendency to think only about his agony on the cross. You know, he was oppressed, he was bruised, he was wounded, and I still can't comprehend what he endured on the cross for 3 hours for you and I. But his worst affliction of all is what? When he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That the Father turned his back on him. That was the worst of all. He was actually, for 3 hours, was not in fellowship with the Father. That was probably the worst for him. And he endured all that for you and I. And while I'm thinking about it, when it comes to pain, you may not know this, or you may know this, until the Lord Jesus took on the form of flesh, he knows about our pain, but he could not feel our pain. God knows our pain, whether it's physical, emotional, or spiritual, but until Jesus took on the form of man, he could not feel it. Hebrews chapter 4, we have a great high priest who can what? Identify with our pain. So he knows what we're going through. And he can feel it. So he feels your pain when, you know, we have pain. He feels it too. And the beauty of it is he intercedes for us and so much more. Conclusion. This is no earth-shaking statement, what I'm going to give you right now. Suffering's a way of life. It's a way of life. It's inescapable. Non-believer or believer, it's inescapable. There's just going to be pain. There's going to be, you know, suffering. And like I said, for the believer, it may not only be physical, but it can be emotional and spiritual as well. So suffering is a way of life. And that passage is a reminder. It talks about all, ever since what Adam and Eve did, all creation suffers. It suffers, all creation. But one day, it will be delivered from the bondage of suffering, and what a blessed day that'll be. Okay, we will get to the passage in a minute. Just trying to bring some reminders. Did you know that there are some benefits in afflictions? Did you know that? there are actually some benefits. Apart from sin, some gross sin in your life or my life, there's actually some benefits in suffering or affliction. Didn't you know that? Here's a couple of references. Psalm 119, verse 67, and I will read that. We will look at 49:50 in a minute. Psalm 119, verse 67, the unknown writer says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word." So God, I don't know how your quiet time is. I don't know how your walk is, only you know. Sometime God may use affliction, what, to bring you back to himself. He may use that. And he will use that. And also we got to remember about pain, suffering, and affliction. God's not the cause, but he does allow it. He never does it, but he allows it. Okay? So there can be some benefits in affliction apart from our sins. For restoration, Psalm 119, verse 71, for instruction. Notice the attitude of the psalmist in verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn something." That's not the kind of learning I want. I don't want that kind of learning, but sometimes God allows it. I don't like pain. I don't think anybody likes pain. But sometimes he allows it that we might learn something from it. Now the next thing is really the highlight of all afflictions. I don't know what your attitude is about it. We'll look at this verse in a couple minutes. Ultimately, all things, doesn't say a few things, all things, including our sufferings, pains, affliction, physical, emotional, or spiritual, work together for good, for our transformation, that is, to be like Christ. Everything that God allows in your life, and I mean everything, if Job was here, he would have a tremendous testimony. But yeah, everything works together for good. Regardless of what you and I think or feel about it, everything that God allows, everything, works together for good to those who love God. That we, what, may be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like Christ. So again, attitude is a big key, is a real big key when it comes to afflictions. What is your attitude and what is my attitude? Well, may our attitude be found centered in the Word of God. Okay, I think we're going to finally get to the text. I will read Psalm 119, verses 49-50. The King James says, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word has quickened me," or revived me. So it's actually a prayer request. Now we must remember the psalmist, this was written about 3,000 years ago. The psalmist did not have his own personal copy of the Bible. The modern printing press did not come out. And so he asked the Lord to bring the Word of God to his remembrance. But you and I are in a different circumstance. This book is available to you 24/7, 365. All we have to do is pick it up, and God can really minister to us like nobody else can. By the way, I want to make two comments about the Word of God. I know you know this. What I love about the Word of God, it's written on a supernatural wavelength, and it also ministers to us in a supernatural way. I love Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living, and it's powerful to minister to you and I like nobody else can. It is alive and it is powerful. And it goes on to say other things, of course. So God's word can minister to you and I in a supernatural way, which people without Christ don't know about. Okay, so my first Roman, it gives us the benefit of renewed hope. Hope is a tremendous topic. It's a tremendous topic. There's three important things to remember about hope. It deals in two realms. Hope deals in two realms. It deals in the invisible realm, and it deals in the future realm. And hope demands an object. People talk about hope, it demands an object, and it also demands information. And of course, the Lord Jesus is the blessed object of our hope. How many verses can you think of with hope? Somebody give me a couple verses about hope, Old Testament or New Testament. Give me a couple verses with the hope. I don't think that's found in the Bible, Alan. Yes, where's that found, Bill? Titus 2:13. Yeah, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. By the way, that's the next event on God's calendar, and before I utter the next word, we could be in glory. And I say, that'd be okay with me. Now, I am looking forward to lunch, but God has a better will than I do. yes. Yes, the Lord, the married supper of the Lamb. What a day that'll be. Okay. Any other verses can you think about hope?
In Romans 5.
Okay.
Endurance produces character, and character produces hope.
Amen. Amen. I agree with that. I like Proverbs 23:17. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but in the fear of the Lord continue all day long, for surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. How about Colossians? Christ in you what? The hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. By the way, the sad thing is for our family and friends and co-workers and neighbors and all that, Ephesians 2 says if they're without God and without Christ, they have no hope. And that's why you and I are here to try to reach them. And again, thank God that the grace of God found Bob. Thank God. So, all those people that are in our lives, family and friends, co-workers, neighbors, strangers, if they don't know the Lord Jesus, that they have no hope. But you and I got a blessed hope. So it gives us the benefit of renewed hope. That's what the Word of God does. It renews that hope. A renewed hope in all present pain. A renewed hope in all present pain. I don't know what you're feeling right now in the way of pain or suffering, but it renews that hope. It renews that hope. You know, you might be thinking, Lord Jesus, I don't know why you allowed this to happen to me, but I know you're in control. I know you're in control. Renewed hope in all present pain. Well, if that's the situation, then certainly it can be renewed hope in all possible problems, whatever you and I may encounter. That's what the Word of God can do, regardless of whatever happens in your life. And I mean, there's nothing you cannot think of how when you and I pick up the Bible and invest time in it, can renew our hope that God's on the throne and He knows what He's doing when He allows something to happen to you and I. It's for every circumstance in this life. That book, this book in your hand and my hand, gives us renewed hope. God give us the grace to endure it, of course, but it renews our hope. That's what the Word of God can do. Well, I love this hymn. It's in 107 of the Black Book. O Lord, Thy love's unbounded. But I love this. I love this chorus. It's 107 in the Black Hymn Book. By the way, our pain is going to turn to the smiley face there someday. But oh, the hope of being forever with the Lord, the joyful hope of seeing His face for me so marred. It fills my heart with comfort. It fills my lips with praise. So that amidst my present sorrow, a joyful song we raise. If I remember correctly, Paul and Silas, after they got whipped, they were singing songs at midnight, weren't they? Maybe they needed a checkup from the neck up. But they had a hope, didn't they? That there was something good in this. They were suffering for Christ. And so as hard as that may be, I like the encouragement of this hymn line, but oh, the hope of being forever with the Lord. Well, for application, I want to ask you a question only you can answer. My dear brothers and sisters, in your present affliction, whatever it may be, who or what is your source of hope? Only you can answer that. I would challenge you to go to the Word of God. I would challenge you, of course, to pray about it and commit it to the Lord, casting all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. He knows about it. He knows about it. But I would challenge you to go to the Word of God. I would challenge you to do that. God's in the business of comfort and hope and so many other things. Okay, we're going to get to number two. Besides hope, it gives us the benefit of divine comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I don't know the exact verses, but it talks about our Father in heaven. He's the God of mercies, the Father of mercies. And then it goes on to say what? The God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. The Lord Jesus said in John 14, 26, I pray, I will send another comforter, and he shall do two things. He shall teach you and I all things, and what? Bring all things to your remembrance. And that's two beautiful ministries of the Holy Spirit. And then when the Lord Jesus was on this earth and he walked among his creatures, how many times did he say to some poor soul, be of good comfort? So God, each member of the Trinity is in the business of comfort. I will repeat again that I fell into the snare of alcohol and drugs, and I used to drink Southern Comfort. It didn't do anything for me like what God can do for me. I tried all of them. I tried all the top shelf, but that didn't do anything for me. God's in the business of comfort, and it's the divine kind, the supernatural kind. Well, same outline, divine comfort in all our present pain, whatever your pain may be, and divine comfort in our present problems. That's what the Word of God can do for you and I. It ministers in that supernatural wavelength. This is a true story. Verizon Telephone said it retrieved a voicemail message that Catherine Whiting had recorded before her death in 05. Her husband, Charles, who was 80, said he listened to it every day for comfort. Well, I don't know if Mr. Whiting is still alive, but you know what? God gives us, he gives us a voicemail too. Right here. This is a voicemail. It's a divine voicemail. It's an inaudible voicemail. We all love voicemails, especially like when, hey, come over to our house for supper. Yeah, I like that voicemail. But this is a divine voicemail. And you know what? God loves to talk to us. When we pick it up, He loves to talk to us. And I'm so thankful for this voicemail. Are you and I listening? Are we listening? Do we want to listen? Okay, for application, in your present affliction, who or what is your source of comfort? What is your source of comfort? Thank God for family and friends that we can go to. They can help us to a certain extent. But God's in the business of ministering really, really deep stuff. I forgot to mention, because I got a little bit of time. In fact, I'm way ahead of schedule. I might be done early. Hey, praise the Lord. I thought it would take much longer, but I'm going pretty fast. If I understand the news, this thing called opiates, whatever that is, opiates, painkillers, they say America's in really bad shape. I don't know where to get all these numbers from, the people that are on painkillers. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with drugs if it's prescribed by the doctor and so forth, and it does help. But Americans are really hurting. I mean, just the drug abuse from all this stuff. That, you know, a drug, it helps for the present moment, but this goes deeper. The Word of God goes deeper. Forgot to mention that. Okay, last of all, it gives us the benefit of sweet revival. That's an added adjective. That's not in that text. Verse 50. Sweet revival in our present affliction, how it revives. Helps us to take our mind, our hearts off our present problems, and we start thinking about heavenly things. And sweet revival in our present problems, okay. I never sang this hymn before. It's also in the Black Hymn Book, How Precious Is the Book. I love the title. And it's got these words concerning the ministry of the Word of God, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the minister to us. Verse 2, talking about our Bibles, it's light descending from above our gloomy world to cheer, displays a Savior's boundless love, and brings His glories near. It sweetly cheers our drooping hearts in this dark veil of tears. Light, life, and joy it still imparts, and quells our rising fears. That's what the scriptures can do for you and I, for the moment, the present moment. Now, I'm not saying our pain is going to go away, but God is in the business of comfort and revival and renewed hope. Application. In your present affliction, who or what is your source of revival? What gets you going again? What fires you up? What renews that hope and all so forth and so on? Well, I hope it's the Word of God. Okay, I can't remember how much more. I think I'm almost done. Therefore, seeing we have these three supernatural benefits only via God's Word of hope, comfort, and revival, let us today resolve more to rely on our Bibles and rest in His perfect will for each of our lives, that God knows about it. He knows about it, and He will take care of it. He knows about it, and He will take care of it. Okay, and my final illustration. I love the lines of Fanny Crosby, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." All the way my Savior leads me, what can I ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercies, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. And He does. What is happening in your life right now, regardless of our attitude, He's doing all things well when it comes to pain, affliction, and suffering. He knows exactly what He's doing, and His will be done. But what is our attitude in all this? Well, to my amazement, this is the earliest I ever got done, and I'm done. let's close in prayer, which I have the hardest time doing. A lot of times I don't know how to pray, and after I get done, I don't know what to say. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, again, we want to thank you for the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Truly, he's the unspeakable gift. And so many blessings and benefits in him and him alone today and in the world to come. And we want to thank you also for the tremendous gift of the written word. It's inspired, it's inerrant, it's infallible. It's alive, it's powerful. And, oh Lord, you know the hearts of everybody in this room. You know among us who is seeking the word on a fairly regular basis. And you know of us who are not. Have mercy on all of us and continue to have mercy on us. And please cause us all in these days of evil, and yes, still pain and suffering, frustrations and problems, and tears and troubles, whatever our circumstances may be, would you drive us to your word? Would you cause us all to seek your word on a daily basis? And please continue to speak to us and minister to us and renew our hope and give us comfort and revive us, because you are our blessed hope. Lord Jesus, you are our blessed hope, and that excels everything that this world can offer. So help us. And please bring these reminders to us how the Word of God can minister to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.